For the first time since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin spoke with his Russian counterpart today, calling for an immediate ceasefire. That's according to the Pentagon. Nearly 3 months into this war, much of the focus is now on the eastern Donbass. But there is also a southern front where Russia made early gains. The fighting continues in the Kherson region, and as elsewhere, stuck in the middle, are families struggling to stay united. Nick Schifrin reports from southern Ukraine.
At a center for families who fled their homes, the kids are all right. 9-year-old Kirillo, his younger brother, 8-year-old Andriy, and their baby sister in the pink sweater, 6-year-old Anna. The city created this play area the day the war began. The clothes they wear, the toys they play with, the stuffed animals that line the shelves, all donated. It's not home, but it's a safe space where boys can be boys. And even sit down when their mother Lilia tells them to.
How are your children doing these days?
They're fine. Thank God. At first they were stressed, but then they got used to being here and now feel fine.
They feel fine, thanks in part to the center's psychologist, Lydia Kortyanova. She uses drawings to measure a child's trauma.
Children mirror what their parents feel. If the parents are worried and anxious and show that, children reflect it.
The parents arrive in Volodymyr Zelensky's hometown from nearby villages, needing everything, and are greeted with bags of food, racks of clothes, and boxes of shoes organized by size. Alexander Vilkil was appointed mayor after the Russian invasion. In a side room, they sing a song of longing, missing the homes from which they fled.
What are they fleeing from?
The IDPs who come here are running from hell. The information we receive from people in occupied territories, executions, torture, and rape are the standard practice. Today, the Russians behave themselves worse than Nazi Germany during World War II.
That's what Lilia and her kids feared, but her husband had to stay behind.
I'm very worried about him. But we have no way out of this situation. I don't know.
And how difficult for you have the last few weeks been?
That we are not together, that our family isn't together. This is very difficult. We're used to being together all the time, and the war has separated us.
We decided to try and find her husband. We traveled 30 miles south, down rutted roads. The Ukrainians bombed a nearby bridge, so the only way in is across the Inhulets River. On the other side is the Kherson region, parts of which Russia still occupies. And waiting for us, Lilia's husband, Stanislav. Stanislav and Lilia both grew up here in Zaradivka. Before the war, it had 800 residents. Today, no more than 30.
A woman was killed in this house. She was in her yard and the Grad rocket hit there, and she got killed.
In mid-March, Russian troops in red seized the city of Kherson and pushed right to the edge of Zakhrativka. They lobbed artillery, and Ukrainian and Russian soldiers traded small arms fire. A Russian shell flew through the roof of the school auditorium that 3 months ago was full of children. The family's farm is down the road. This is where his wife grew up, where they moved in together after they married, the only home their children have known. As a couple, they've never spent more than a day apart. Stanislav wants to show me the reason his family fled, the Russian rocket that landed in their backyard.
And where were you when it landed?
It was in the evening, approximately at 7 p.m. I heard the sounds of the Grad rocket, and I shouted.
The wall between the impact site and the house where the kids were eating, now pierced by shrapnel.
I haven't seen them for a month. I don't have gas to go and see them because the gas stations are empty, so I can't go there. Immediately, the day after the attack, I took them out of here, and they haven't been back since.
In the middle of their property, where the family was forced to hide.
This is the cellar.
It's actually a food storage turned shelter with a child-sized makeshift bed in the corner. They could always hear the fighting above.
The bullets whistled by here. It was scary. We got really scared for our kids.
He's collected all the shrapnel that littered the farm, some of which landed just in the last few days.
So this is your home.
And inside the house, past the window broken by shrapnel, is his children's room. The bunk beds Kirilo and Andriy have shared since they were born, and their toys mixed in with Anna's, untouched for a month.
It was always noisy here, and now it's quiet.
Tell me about the future. What do you hope for your future and for your family's future?
I hope the victory will come soon and that our family will be together again. This is my dream.
But for now, it is a dream deferred and a family that remains separated. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin in Zarativka, Ukraine.
So hard to see. And a note again that our coverage of the war in Ukraine is supported in partnership with the Pulitzer Center.